Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
The drugs from my generation, and it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I am your commissioner, in addition to being the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend. He's hard to find, but he's easy to talk to. The inebriator in the era in which it is awesome. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
The scientist
is here. Boy, we'll get to that.
Oh, we will get to that, brother. Well, it's good to be back. I know I was a little out of pocket for a while there after our inaugural return, and then work kicked me in the face as usual, but, you know.
That's okay. Greg filled in for you 1 week. We had a good discussion.
That was a good one. Thank you, Mr. DeMarco.
We're back again. Le Champions, sipping on some of the bubbly.
Ooh, bubbly. You like the champagne baths at the end there?
Yeah, what are you going to do? AEW is, we'll get to that too. Yeah, if you've been listening to Pod is War, you already know my opinion. But, DP, we're back. It's DWI Podcast, episode...
Uno, dos, ocho?
Dos, cien, y ocho. 208.
All right.
Yeah, don't piss off the Lucha Bros. Right. I mean, Rey Fénix and I mean, personally, we've seen Pentagon Jr. from mere feet away, you know. So don't piss them off.
Yeah, he is fantastic. I mean, if you haven't got to see him in person, especially we got to see him in a little bit of a smaller venue, you know, here in locally, and it was, man, he is. TV don't do it justice, really. I mean, sometimes some guys they just don't, it does not do it justice. He is amazing, and it's great to see him in AEW there kicking some ass.
I couldn't agree more. Let's sidestep before we get into the show today and let everybody know what's happening here right here on episode 208 of the DWI podcast. We had a discussion before we came on, and you told me about your trip. You took a trip with the Mrs. the Dillinator down to Chicago. What was the favorite thing you ate while you were down there and the favorite thing you drank while you were down? So a little taste of Chicago while you were down there and had a nice little getaway.
You're going to love this. This is a great story. So we're walking around, right? So we get down there. Yes, we valeted the car because I'm a scientist now and that's what we do.
Pop.
No, there was no effing way I'm driving around in Chicago traffic, let me tell you that. It's just absolutely insane. So,
use your head.
Yes, exactly. Use your head. And so we're like, okay, let's, you know, we'll start heading towards where kind of most of the, you know, restaurants and the bigger area was. We were, you know, just outside of a couple spots. We were two blocks away from the Willis Tower, a.k.a. the Sears Tower. So that's where we were staying. Yeah, we started heading up towards kind of the city, towards the lake a little bit. And just looking around, we're like, yeah, we're just going to find a spot, you know, no big deal, nothing crazy. So we ended up finding this rooftop bar, I think it was called Lakefront. It was not the Lakefront Brewery, they did not have Lakefront drinks, unfortunately, like Milwaukee, but it was still pretty good. We went and sat on the rooftop, which was really nice. So it was still actually nice, it wasn't raining at the time. And the weather was still okay, so we got to go up there. We didn't do anything crazy. I had, it was basically bar food there. So it was like standard. I had wings, you know, and they were okay. Nothing fancy. But then.
Don't put the no space, just but then. What's a but then for?
It's a new word. It's going in the dictionary.
Ring the bell.
So we're like, okay. So I'm like, oh, it's a couple hours until showtime when we go for the show we were going down there for. I'm like, let's go get someplace closer. That way we can have a few drinks and then head into the show because you can't drink in the show. Yeah, I was disappointed with that.
It's like going to a fucking Badger game.
Yeah, right. Get all drunkard up, but then you can't have any more during the game.
Exactly. Like, stop drinking for 3 hours and let me know how you feel.
Brutal. At least this one was only an hour and a half show or whatever. So I'm like, let's get closer to the auditorium. It was at the Chase Bank Center. Let's get closer, find some place nice, sit and have some drinks. So we start walking down there. We find a place across the street. It's called the Rosebud. I'm like, all right, that looks okay. It was like an Italian place. It had a thing on the front because the marathon was happening that weekend. And they were like, oh, come here and carbo load up, you know. So I thought of Michael Scott, you know, when he's carbo loading 2 minutes before his before the fun run. So I'm like, well, that place got to be okay. You know, it was right across the street. I'm like, well, let's go there, you know. So we walk in there. And, you know, I'm wearing a Badgers pullover, half quarter zip. And Krista was wearing, you know, a nice green skirt and, you know, black top or whatever. We walk in there, and the entire wait staff is literally in tuxedos. We walk in, I'm like, we should not be here.
Holy shit.
I'm like, do we just turn around? Because it was a revolving door. I'm like, do we just keep going? Revolving door and back out. I'm like, ah, fuck it. I'm like, who cares? Let's go in. So we go in and, like, literally everybody's shirt and tie, you know, that are sitting there at the bar. And like, I'm like, oh, fuck, we are way underdressed. Like, we are not the type of people that should be sitting here.
Let's put it this way. At the end of the night, your money was just as green as the next guy's.
Every $10 drink we had.
Pop.
Little ones, too. It was, yeah. I'm like, I wonder how big this bill is going to be. Because we could see the screen on the, you know, for the receipts for the bills when they're typing them in for other people. And I'm like, this guy's like $80 and all this. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, how much are these drinks going to be? I'm like, she was getting, what was she drinking? She had Amaretto Sours. I'm drinking Captain and Cokes. I'm like, these are probably going to be $10 a piece. Oh, fuck.
That's not horrible. To be honest with you, that's not ridiculous because, I mean, there's a lot of places you'll go to that aren't whatever, you know, They're not whole walls, but they're like on a main drag or whatever. What are you drinking? Double tall or was it single?
No, that's single little. Smalls. That's why I was like, okay, maybe $6. But downtown Chicago?
Yeah, it's times two. You can probably get a call. It'll probably cost you $5 at a good place, regardless of where you are. Probably. So.
I was
paid an extra $5 for the tuxedos. Good for you. You got a couple drives while you were there. Just like when we were in Vegas, we buy some lights every time we get there. You see that light up there at the top of the ceiling? I paid for that one. Paid for that one.
Pretty much. That's what it felt like. It was great. It was fun. I mean, it was, you know, we had fun with it. Not like, you know, we were not, we did, you know, once we got going, we didn't feel out of place. But it was like, it just walked in there. It was like, oh, shit. What did we just walk into? Thank God I'm not eating dinner here because it would have cost like $800.
Oh, geez. Might have been really good, though. Might have been really bad, too.
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. But just the fact that, I mean, everybody, bow tie, like tuxedo. Like, fuck, man. Like, that's crazy. Like, we should not be here.
Well, they expect them scientists, you know, walking through the door to be a little eclectic anyway. So no worries on your part, you know.
Well, I felt like I should have had the, you know, the coat on or something, the lab coat or, you know, something. I don't know. I should have started handing out my business card, like, because I got my business cards finally. Like, now I can officially say scientist.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a picture and send it to me. Yo, Jesus Christ. It's just a card in my face now. Is that what you do to people? You're like, just read it, nice, read it. Nice. Just like, hey, by the way, Las Vegas Strip. We'll get to that. All right, DPP. That is a phenomenal. I'm glad you had a great time, little getaway. I'm sure sooner than later, I'll get the rest of the story from the Dillinator herself. Maybe next weekend, maybe Halloween. There might be some kind of DWI podcast Halloween special. Y'all can figure that out in your own brains, what's going on that day. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at. Until then, though, maybe we'll have an episode next week. Maybe we won't. Maybe you should just, you know, keep going to thechairshot.com, where you can get a numerous amount of excellent podcasts. Obviously, the Greg DeMarco show. I believe Miranda's got her own thing going. Pod is War, obviously. DWI, Big Rick's got the weekly blitz going on. You got The Outsiders, I think Doc Says, et cetera, et cetera. So there's some great podcasts right over there, thechairshot.com, plus plenty of phenomenal writers doing their thing. In addition, if you're looking for some good t-shirts, something that not everybody's wearing wherever you go, you want to be a little bit different, you want to have something right off the cuff, a little bit more clever than everybody's used to, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and you'll find all the great chair shot t-shirts. DP, I think it's about time to let everybody know what we're going to exactly be talking about today, because it's not going to be very exact, though. Let's get into the big show sheet.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
Waiting for weeks. Been waiting for the sheet.
All done. This week on the podcast known as DWI episode, what episode is it? 208. Oh, that's Spanish. That's 208. I'm telling you, don't say you don't know. I'm telling you, do know.
Okay, now I know.
Crikey. I wish it was here. You know, yeah, keep saying it until
it's
here. Yeah, one more time.
Thank you.
Yeah, now you know.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, man, we've accumulated so many motherfucking sound bites. It's hard when you're not ready for them. You know? You just kind of a little bit. Boy, I'm sure everybody noticed my balls were showing there. But anyway, this week on the podcast known as DWI, the big show sheet reads as such. We're going to talk a little bit about the WWE draft. We're going to talk a little bit about that effect it's going to have on Raw and SmackDown moving forward, and the obvious move to Fox. They had the pre-show the other day. What's their WWE Backstage? Thought it was excellent. Yeah, Renee Young, Christian, Booker T, and Paige. I thought it was really good. I actually watched it. Obviously, we're going to get into some AEW. DPP has actually seen 66.7% of the AEW. He's got the fist up over there. And then we'll have a last call, among other bits you haven't heard in a while, right here on the podcast known as DWI. So DPP, this is the way it usually happens. Do me that Flavor Flav and ring the bell. There it is. I sent out a tweet a week or so ago, and it was drafts we like and drafts we don't. I NFL, NBA, beer. There's one other one. Yeah, draft beer. Right? Come on, that's good.
Brilliant.
And then drafts we don't like. War. I think I missed that one, actually. There was one other one, and the WWE draft. Personally, if you've been listening to the other things I've been doing, you already know that while I enjoyed the shows, I just don't think they did it well. The breakaways to like the Fox War Room or whatever were kitschy. I did like when they actually went to the people that were former stars in their profession. Like Terry Bradshaw telling us that Dusty Rhodes is his favorite wrestler ever is fucking awesome, right? But otherwise, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like how the show was produced. I didn't like the order it went in. Speak to your thoughts and feelings on the actual production and the shows that they put out being a WWE draft. To me, it seemed like we've done this before and you're not doing it better this time.
I think what I want us to think is that they were trying to make this a more universal, get everybody involved as far as networks, you know, the network into this. Like, and Fox had, you know, like I said, the Fox morning, NFL morning team was on there, and they brought in Terry.
A fucking robot is in the war room.
I'm hoping Cletus made those draft picks because that'd be entertaining. I'm really hoping it was a Cletus draft with the first pick in the WWE draft. Raw selects Becky Lynch. You know, I would rather have that than Stephanie McMahon up there doing her thing. But that's what I mean. That's what I think, is they were trying to get like other demographics involved in it to say like, oh look, it's a draft, you know, whether it's not just the WWE, but try and make it more like the NFL draft or the other, you know, another draft where you bring in experts and stuff like that, and you know, make it play to a bigger audience than just wrestling fans, because that's what I guess they're trying to do with Fox, is trying to get more people than just wrestlers involved in it, and or wrestling fans involved in it, I should say. So I think that's what they were trying to do, is bring in a bigger audience to say, look, this is a draft and everybody should be excited for it. And, you know, maybe they can get some other viewers other than just, you know, the guys like us who are wrestling fans. So I really think that's what they were trying to do. Do I think they pulled it off? I don't know. I'm a wrestling fan. To me, that's not what I want to see. So maybe that's what somebody else wanted to see. And if they did, that's great. And if they got more viewers, awesome. But we all know my feelings on the brand splits and how much I absolutely fucking hate it. And I think it was absolutely hilarious that the first dozen picks of the draft were the exact same order that they listed them. If you looked on the SmackDown list, like, oh, these are who was eligible. And it went exactly to the number.
I brought up the point because Platt brought that up on Pot is War, right? And Andrew kind of seconded it. And I said, well, maybe that's a smart decision. Because all the people that knew better to look there were going to watch anyway, regardless. And then they put it out there for everybody that didn't really know and were watching. And you just got that many more clicks on the website.
Maybe that's what they were going for. I don't know.
Think about it, really. Like, all of a sudden, Twitter's blowing up, and you're someone that doesn't watch WWE all the time, and you're like, really, the first many picks? You're going to WWE.com to look at that then, right? There's a click, there's a click, there's a click, there's a click, there's a bunch of traffic. Just because you did it that way. And no one is going to really fucking not watch just because you did that.
Right. Maybe that's what they were trying to go for there. I don't know. But presentation-wise, fine. I don't know. Yeah, the whole war room thing of, like, the network executives were actually making these picks was pretty cheesy. And, you know, like, oh, we got it. We got that person. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, okay, whatever, guys, idiots. So, whatever. It's just another draft, and it's another brand split attempt again. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, it's hilarious that they're the way they split some of these guys up, and you know, just I don't know.
So what are your biggest gripes about the roster and how it becomes about? Because I think the biggest thing is people were really surprised that Charlotte ended up on Raw with Becky.
Yeah, that was really kind of a thing. I was surprised they did that because they've had this feud going on, and it had been a good chance to keep them apart a little bit longer, you know. So that's going to be interesting. You know, they've just brought back Luke Harper to team with Eric Rowan, and now they split him up. I think that's going to be really good for Harper, I hope. But it's just like, okay, you just brought him back, you're getting this thing going, and now it's, okay, we're done. Like, okay. You know, this whole Fiend and Seth Rollins thing was going, well, now they're on separate brands. So
the listeners of the Chairshot.com and our beautiful podcast here at Podcast DWI on the Twitter, have not had to hear your thoughts on Hell in a Cell, specifically Bray and Seth. Your thoughts on that match, the ending, etc.
So I actually did read some of Greg DeMarco's thoughts on it, as how he's kind of turned around at the ending of it and first hated it, now kind of loves it. But immediately when I saw it, and I still continue to believe this, is it was absolutely fucking ridiculous. And why they wasted that match then at that point in Bray Wyatt's career as the Fiend, I think is absolutely stupid. The whole idea of the Hell in a Cell match is that there's no disqualification, there's anything fucking goes, and all of a sudden you're going to end it in a no contest. Well, I don't know, was it a no contest or was it actually a disqualification? It was a no contest.
Yeah, it ended up being a match stoppage, is official.
Because he hit him in the head with the chair, sledgehammer, whole thing.
Like, it's a toolbox on top of a ladder, on top of a chair, on top of Bray Wyatt, and blah, blah, blah.
Like, why? It doesn't matter. There are no rules. There are no rules. Don't hit him with sledgehammer.
There's only one rule. No rules.
So, like, it should have just kept on going. Then let it continue. But if you weren't going to have Bray Wyatt or The Fiend win the title, don't put him in the title match. He's too valuable of a character right now to do that. And that's exactly my whole issue. Since Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt, was why you have him continually lose matches. The gimmick becomes worthless. So why, at that point, have him in that position if you weren't going to give him the title or weren't going to give him the win? Then it should have been the other way, where the Fiend, destroyed Seth Rollins so badly and smashed him up so much that they had to call the match or something, where he did something heinous. I don't know. Just didn't make sense to me. Absolutely hated it. I wish they just wouldn't have done it. I mean, I would rather have him interfere in a Hell in a Cell match that Rollins was in and continue the story that way if they were going to do it.
All right, that's the past. Before we move to the future post-WWE draft and talk a little bit about that, let's take a pause for the...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following...
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Let's move into the future. It is the present, obviously, as we record, obviously, as you listen. But moving forward... we have a nice little dynamic, a little bit new shift with the talent and the rosters, and I really actually like it. You know, DP, they put some certain people here, some certain people there. I'm going to hold judgment on the roster split until we get into some storylines. What's this going to look like come Royal Rumble, moving into WrestleMania? Because obviously these arcs... these major arcs are set forth and were specifically designed with the draft and what they did with each talent. Give me one thing in the men's, one thing in the women's division with these new rosters that you're looking forward to as we move. Obviously, we got the jam in the sand four, as Platt would say, and then Survivor Series.
One of the big things I really like is on Raw... is the I don't know how to say it, but just the different type of talent that they put there. You got Cedric Alexander, you got Andrade, you got Ricochet, guys like that, you know, Seth Rollins, guys that aren't necessarily those, you know, big giants of men, but guys that can really go in the ring and put on a really good story. I mean, I can't wait for Andrade to be in that kind of main event push, because I think he's going to get there. You know, guys like that, I'm actually really excited for, to see if they get the opportunity to get into that main event picture. I think that could be really fun for Raw. The SmackDown side is interesting, I guess. I don't really, they have more the, I guess, the bigger name talent of Lesnar and Reigns.
Well, speaking to that, tonight, we're recording Friday afternoon. It is nearly 4:30 Eastern time here in the United States as DP and myself record and have a couple drinks. Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura tonight for the IC title.
Fun. That's awesome. I'm really looking forward to seeing that match. That's going to be a lot of fun. I you know, given my prediction, if I had to, obviously I'm guessing it's going to end in some kind of no contest disqualification, because I don't see Reigns winning that title. Because
I got Reigns winning the title tonight.
I love it.
Does Shinsuke or Roman have a match for Crown Jewel or Jam in the Sand 4?
Negatory.
Rematch.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Interesting. I like it. I'm. Yeah.
Keep going.
One more thing I found very interesting, and I guess I haven't really read into any of the details or anything at this point, but Finn Balor going back to NXT. Very interesting. I don't know if there's any. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get into the details because I've been out of pocket so much, but. Is there a big reason why that you know of, or is it just...
Not that I've heard of. I think they're just mixing things up. And from what I've heard, he's going to get paid less for it, too. But at the same time, being in NXT is kind of like a break and still getting paid at the same time. Like, you're traveling less, you're in the same space mostly. I think Finn Balor's the perfect guy amongst... Who else, you brought back down Breezango. If there's one person you'd like to see back down in NXT, who would you like to see? I mean, personally, for me, I would love to see one of the women that aren't being used so much that are like top level, like a Naomi, or I'm trying to think, who else am I thinking of here? Maybe that's the only one, but like there's other women there that aren't being used as well. Natalya, like going back down to NXT and having those great matches and putting that talent over, and that's not going to tarnish anything they're doing, you know? Naomi, to me, is something that they could have done because they're punishing the Usos for what Jay did, obviously, but why leave Naomi off TV? She could have been helping that brand out, but at the same time, they really got a lot going on down there in NXT. It's been really nice. I mean, Punishment Martinez, Dunn's been over there. You got the Mia Yim, Io Shirai, et cetera, just tearing it up down there. And of course, everybody knows who my favorite right now is.
Bro.
Matt Riddle, too. I mean, even Dijakovic, Dominic Dijak from Ring of Honor, Dijakovic. And
yes.
Killing it. I mean, these guys are killing it. It's great. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing that Finn Balor's going back down there or anything to that nature, I guess, but that, or that NXT is a bad place to be or anything like that. That's not exactly what I mean by it, but yeah, it was just interesting that that's where they decided to go with it. And I'm with you. I think Natalya would be great for NXT. I know she went down there, you know, way back when, I guess, when Bayley and them were kind of coming up and, you know, kind of helped get that talent over. But, you know, going back down there to do that now would be awesome, because everybody that you mentioned is killing it right now, and would even just enhance that, getting that over and, you know, getting them up to the next level. And Rhea Ripley coming in would be awesome, and getting her into the main roster. And, you know, a person like Natalya would just kill it down there. In NXT.
That's fine. It's down there. It's Florida. It's southern tip. That's as fucking southern as we get down in the USA. I'm glad you brought up Bayley, because that's the last thing I really wanted to ask you about as far as WWE is concerned before we moved on and talked a little All Elite. How did you like the character change, the haircut, different wardrobe, killed the Bayley buddies, et cetera, et cetera? And still champion, by the way, right? So give me your thoughts on that as a scientist, I guess.
My scientific breakdown of this is, it is fucking awesome. I think it's not long overdue, but I think it's overdue.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is that an official term? Being a scientist, fucking awesome. Is that that's a scientific term? Fucking awesome.
It's in the handbook that you get when you become a scientist.
Fair.
On like the first page, it's like, okay, terms you can use. Fucking awesome.
Glad I know.
Yeah. No,
we already did it. Well, you want it again?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe! Quick shout out to Andrew Snowflake Blaz. This is also something we know.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
I couldn't resist. Science. It was right. Yeah, it's science. Oh, wait, do that again. Yeah, that's perfect.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
It's science.
Love it. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Hi, Andrew.
Miss those guys. I gotta get on a show with those guys. But I thought it was the perfect way to do it. You know, it basically, she said, I am done with this gimmick. I mean, literally chopped the fucking wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube man's. and just said, this is it, it's over, you know, like, showed it right off. I'm cutting down. This is it. No more. I'm done with this gimmick. I'm moving on. Beautiful. I thought it was great. It was perfect. They couldn't have done it any better when they did it.
Excellent. All right. Last thing I want to do before we move on to AEW is let's bring back something we haven't done in a while, because this man got drafted to SmackDown, and he's a really big man, and he's going to have a really big match with somebody that DP... he and I know really well. We're big boxing fans. If you listen to the show regularly or you talk to us at all, we really follow boxing. Not so much as we used to. We still pay attention, but man, we, me, you, Pa,
Brother Joe.
This is Brother Joe. Yeah, it was Sheep's Head and boxing all the way through the 2000s. So
that's great. Hey, when the pizza came, the doublers are eliminated.
Doublers were gone. Doublers were gone. All right, DPP. I think the people listening deserve it. It's been a while. Unfortunately, we don't have Greg DeMarco this week, but I think he'll enjoy knowing that we did this. So, DPP, it's time for another edition of Braun Strowman's Favorites. Here's the big question. Am I supplying the favorite, or are you?
If you have one at the ready, it sounds like you kind of do. So if you want to take it, then you can. But I absolutely am ready for you if you want me to take it.
Yeah, I think I want to be on the guessing end of Braun Strowman's favorites, if you don't mind. I'm thrilled to see Braun over on SmackDown. I don't know when he's going to win the title, if he's ever going to win the title, but, you know, you got Braun and Cain Velasquez and Braun Strowman. Being Brock Lesnar, sorry. I've been drinking because it's a DWI podcast. So we'll get to that, too. Yeah, I would love to see a triple threat between those guys. What do you think? Yes or no?
Yes, sir. Are you doing this? We'll get into that later, I guess, but I'm loving that Cain Velasquez is out there.
Yeah, I should have made that of your opinion, man, but you're already rocking.
We're already on Braun Strowman's favorites, so we can do that next time, man.
All right, lay it on me.
All right.
Braun Strowman's favorites. I think I've only missed one ever.
Probably. That sounds about right. I think that sounds about right. I'm going to make this one related to, where's Barry Horowitz when you need him?
No, you can't play it. We got the music going, match game music. Shout out to long microphones.
It would be very interesting to put Tyson Fury as the Braun Strowman's favorites, but we already know that's too late, too obvious. So we're going to go sports related. We're going to keep it local. We're talking a new season of the NBA starting up. Braun Strowman, big fan of basketball, I think. I don't know if his favorite team is the Milwaukee Bucks, but our favorite team is the Milwaukee Bucks. So...
His favorite baseball team is the Brewers, that's for sure.
So
that's why his first. That's why he's Braun.
I don't think so, dude.
No, yeah, seriously. That's why he's Braun Strowman, is because of Brian Braun.
Get out of here.
Seriously.
Get out of here. No, really, get out of here. That's the end of the DWI podcast. PC Tony.
Should be a good show with DP, yeah. See you later.
I can do it. I'm a scientist now. No. It's, yeah, we're going to restart that. So, let's pretend Braun Strowman's favorite basketball team is also in Milwaukee, and it's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
So, obviously, we're starting a new season. We've had some team players that we've lost, players that we've gained. We've got a new roster a little bit. So, I'm going to guess, my belief is, and I'm going to ask this question to PC Tunney, is who in the recent few years has been Ryan Braun, now you got me saying Ryan Braun.
This will all make sense when we play What You're Drinking.
Who is Braun Strowman's favorite Milwaukee Buck player?
That's tough. I'm trying to think of what associates into this. Is this the one time we break the rule? And it's just Giannis.
Giannis. No, it is not. We're not breaking rules. There's no breaking rules in Braun Strowman's favorites.
All right. Man. I know sports the episode, roster.
I said in the past few years, he may not be on the roster anymore. We've had some recent releases and trades and
I know who it is.
It doesn't necessarily
need to be like that. He's a Turkish man. His name is Ersan Ilyasova.
That dude.
I lost. That's my second defeat ever. All right, lay it on us, DP. Lay it on us.
Is this Sterling
Brown?
Oh. Not so much.
What the fuck?
Gizmo, do you have a guess? Gizmo got it right.
Can you translate? Can you translate?
I got it right. I will translate for Gizmo. The correct answer is Malcolm Brogdon.
He's a fucking pacer.
I'd say he's not on the team anymore. I'm not happy about it either, but, you know, it happened.
All right, I'm glad you brought that up. There'll be a little plug here. We're going to have the NBA preview. Myself, the MVP, Mr. Bellpipes, Christopher Platt. That's going to come out before the opening of NBA season Tuesday. And there's a possibility that the show could also get something different. That's a good one.
Well done.
Yeah, that just kind of worked out. What you gonna do when they come for Woo?
Woo! I have a few that I will never retire.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking All Elite Wrestling, AEW, right there on TNT, going right up against NXT on USA. Wednesday Night Wars are happening. Let's just start with this, DP, before we even start talking about AEW. How cool is it that once again we have a night in which two wrestling companies simultaneously compete against each other?
Boy, it's been 20 years? 19 years? 2000?
18 years? 17 years? 2001?
Was it 2001? Or I thought they were gone. Is that when they were gone, when they finally bought them? Either way.
Yeah. So what was that last episode of WCW?
Either way. I was right in there, 2000. Either way, we had a brief attempt when Impact went live, right? Didn't really work out, brother. And that's it was unfortunate, because it would have been really cool to at least have a company that did it. But here's AEW, and AEW's hitting it, and I think they're doing really well. I've watched it. I think it's fantastic, and it is awesome that we have another shot at having some kind of little competition, not a war, not that they might ever win the ratings necessarily, but somebody that can compete.
Well, they've been winning the ratings. They've been winning the ratings against NXT. It's been over 1 million for AEW and right around 800,000 for NXT, basically for 3 weeks. So we're talking AEW. I've enjoyed the opening and what they put out to begin the shows and the end of what they've done. And at the same time, it's hard for me to give super props to the middle of the show just because you all know me. I'm a WWE guy, and there's deep roots there, and we're just starting to build them for AEW. And I've done my best and done a really good job of not going on Twitter and trying to destroy AEW people that just don't really get it, et cetera, et cetera. You can support AEW and not like totally try to bury WWE for no reason. Like, people, you can enjoy two things. You don't have to just be one or the other. I get it. You want fresh stuff. I understand. But at the same time, talk to me about AEW's women's division. It's fucking horrible what they've been doing right now. The matches have been brutal. I mean, it's just not even good. But at the same time, they do a good job of what they're doing with Private Party, in my opinion. I already told you, this whole tag team tournament started after they beat the Young Bucks. I said they're going to beat Lucha Bros. They're going to beat SCU in the final. They're putting someone over right now. In the same way that Jericho and Darby Allin had a phenomenal fucking match. Darby Allin's going to be an amazing match. I don't know necessarily that I would be having a title match there, because it was so obvious that Jericho was not going to lose that. He has the big match coming up against Cody. They did a really good job this past week of having vignettes with Cody and Brandy, and I think everybody wants to see that. I mean, if anybody – I'm sorry, Miz. You and Maurice are great, but if Cody and Brandy had their own reality show, it would get ratings. So, you've seen a large majority of what's happened, and you already know what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. I think Full Gear, we may need to get the crew together for just to, lower the costs, et cetera. But what are your thoughts? What do you like? Who's impressed you? And what are you disappointed in? All Elite Wrestling.
Let me tell you, the first thing that I absolutely love is where we are, and I 100% agree with you, especially when it comes to the fanboys, when it comes to Twitter and stuff like that. Like, don't hate on anything right now. This is we're in an opportunity here where we have a plethora. That's right, I used your word, a plethora of wrestling and different outlets where you can watch it. And don't try and kill anything right now. AEW is just starting up, and don't try and bury any. I mean, I know WWE. You know, and the way creative is going, it kind of sucks. But I mean, you got WWE, now you got AEW. You still have Impact. You have Ring of Honor. You know, MLW. There's so many outlets, and it's really great. And we want the competition. We don't want to bury anything right now. We want this to evolve. So don't kill it, and let's let this play out the way it's going to go. And the way AEW is starting, I think, is excellent. And one of the biggest things I loved, and especially in that first episode, is that they're telling the story of some of these other characters you don't know. And that was one of the biggest things I said before it even started, was we're not going to know, you know, if you've watched some of their specials and stuff like that, you may know a few of these guys. And if you watch other, you know, Ring of Honors and where some of these other guys came from, you may know them as well. But a lot of these guys you aren't going to know right off the bat, and they need to build these characters. They need to build a reputation. You need to get the audience involved and get them to know these guys and have a reason to get behind them. And right off the bat, they did it when they did Sammy Guevara and Cody, where Cody sat down, told a story, You saw some clips of Sammy, and you got to understand a little bit about him. They've done that, you know, throughout these first couple episodes, first couple shows, where you can start to know these guys. You know, the private party, you talked about the tag team title tournament. You know, it's coming out for some of these new guys, and you have to be able to know who they are. And they're doing that, and I love that. That's really great. And if they keep doing that, some of these other characters will get over, because they have the few big ones that everybody knows. They got Jericho, you got Cody, and you got Dustin Rhodes, you got Moxley. Sean Spears is, you know, was great over there, you know. And then you got the Young Bucks, and then you got Kenny Omega. You got guys that are trying to get put over. You got Pac and Hangman Page. A couple of the guys. But then the other ones that they're trying to do, you mentioned Darby Allin had a fucking phenomenal match against Jericho. I think they're doing great with getting some of these other characters that you didn't know some opportunities to be on the show and to tell their story and start building that character up. And that's one of the biggest things I love, is that they're telling those stories and then they're getting that exposure. Awesome. That's the way you got to do it when you're starting this stuff up. Some of the stuff I hate, I don't know if I necessarily hate it, but I agree the women's division is pretty a little rough right now. Again, they're doing a lot of the matches are longer. They're doing more in ring than they are doing more the, you know, segments and goofy stuff that WWE likes to do. It's different. Okay, I get it. And as much as I love what they're doing of telling some of those stories, I wish they did a little bit more, especially right now, than having just 10-minute, 15-minute matches. Because we don't know a lot of the guys. So I'd like to see it a little bit more than what they're doing. Even though I like what they're doing. I want a little more of it right now. Because they need to build more characters than just a few.
Is there one person that you kind of didn't really notice before this whole kind of AEW television started that you're really taking notice of now?
I gotta tell you, so far, no.
No? Sammy Guevara, MJF, et cetera, et cetera?
Sammy Guevara, I loved. And, you know, I loved that they told that story in the first episode, first show, with Cody talking a little bit about him, because it helps understand those characters that you really don't know. But I did like Darby Allin. I liked what he did. I like a few of these guys, the way they're wrestling. But nobody's standing out yet as far as, like, ooh, this guy, I don't really know. And he's right.
Help me invest in your character, basically, is right. What you're saying.
Exactly. And yes, they are doing that. You know, they're trying to tell some more stories, you know, to get you know, to learn these guys, and it's perfect. But it's not there yet for me to like latch on to anybody new.
Last question I'll ask you about AEW, and AEW is going to be on this show every single time right now. They're live television, etc. So thoughts on Moxley?
Guy.
Yep, exactly. He was unimpressive in WWE unless he was chasing with a good group, and now it's just kind of, okay, you're one of their best, but like, is that really like gonna drive it? I mean, he works good, he's got a good persona, but at the same time, he benefits from chasing and being involved with somebody that's better than him.
He does, you know, and he has, I mean, yeah, he's a great wrestler. Great gimmick. I like it, but there's nothing, I mean, really, there's nothing there that's like, ooh, get me excited for you. I don't know.
I think my favorite thing, yeah, I think my favorite thing has been their tag division, to be honest with you. Private Party, the Lucha Bros, SCU, Young Bucks, and then you have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus South. So you had the tiny, God, I can't even remember his fucking name now. But anyway, they had a great match against Lucha Bros, and I thought that was great. But the production value is excellent. They're going to grow. It's going to take time. That's what people need to understand. If you're not a WWE hater, basically, it's going to take time for you to get invested, right? I mean,
Marco Stunt was the guy you're thinking of.
Yes, thank you. Ring the bell. Good God.
I, I gotta tell you, one of the things that bothered me, and I've heard good and bad. I heard a few people who are guys who used to do production say it was actually really good. Especially the first episode, I just thought they were like just completely out of sync with everything, you know. And I know, and that's one thing that's you know, take it for, you know, it's a new company and everything's still getting situated. You know, it's just like starting off something new. You're gonna eventually get into your rhythm, but you know, and they Tony Schiavone, okay, great. I'm not a big fan, but all right. And JR, which I loved, just feels like it's not working for me. Like, it feels like JR is not JR anymore. I feel like he just seems old. He seems like he's not hitting the cues. It just, everything felt uncomfortable and off, especially in that first episode. Like, I don't know, production-wise, just things didn't seem to click.
This is actual breaking news. DPP and I disagree on something. I thought the best part of AEW for the first two episodes was the announced team. I think they just kind of gelled a little bit more on this last episode, which I love the beginning and the end. I didn't like in the middle, but man, they need DPP. I think the announced team isn't really something to be worried about, and I don't think you're actually worried about it. I think you're just less of a Tony Schiavone fan, and you want more of the old JR, which you're not going to get, because right now he's setting people up, and he's trying to get you invested and do his job, and I think he's doing a great job. But they absolutely have to have a better women's division, because Riho's fine. She's young. She won the title. That was a solid match. But now you're featuring Dr. Britt Baker and you're going to her hometown next time. And it's like, what the fuck? I mean, really? I don't understand. I don't know what they're doing with that women's division, but they're not putting good matches on.
I can't disagree with that. And part of the problem might be they don't have enough women in the division. They also... And I get it. It's a smaller group of people right now as they get going. But they don't have anybody else that you know. You know, again, it's the same thing. You got to build up these characters. We don't know any of these girls.
Whatever happened with Kylie Rae, and I don't know, but like they're missing her hardcore, because she's someone that gets her character and direction. Well, she gets her direction over.
And where's Awesome Kong? You know, at this point,
they have a hard time moving around right now, from what I hear.
Okay. But at this point, get your stars out there right now and help them get some of these other people over a little bit. You know, right now you kind of need your big stars, and you need them to hit, and you need them to help, and you need to focus them a little bit more, but with bringing in like Jericho and Darby Allin, you know, bring them in, help them establish themselves. And then you can start expanding.
We're going to wrap AEW like this, DP.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
I'm going to do this segment a little bit different, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds for your opinion on calling Jericho's faction the Inner Circle.
Do I need 30 seconds? It's great. Why wouldn't it be great? You know.
Really? You like that?
I don't hate it. I don't love it. But it's going to get over. Right? It's going to get over. Just like anything else that starts off and you go, really? I don't know about that.
I don't know about that, dude.
Like the New Day?
You keep pushing it, right? Yeah, like the New Day. Terrible at the beginning, but it found its rhythm. It found its spot. Found where it needed to fit. And I think this is exactly the same thing that's going to happen. It's new. It's like, I don't know about it. It's not less, you know. But it's going to get there. It's going to find its spot, and it's going to fit, and these guys are all going to start to gel. I really like that whole group together. Jake Hager is a phenomenal get for these guys, and I think it's awesome for AEW because it's an established name, and he's going to really help them. So I think it's going to get there. I don't love it, don't hate it, but I think it's great because it's something different. And Jericho pushing it, I can't imagine it not working.
And that's been another edition of
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
All right, folks, we've got two things left to do. The first one we're going to do, and it's been a while, and we're definitely making it happen right now. What you drinking?
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. I walk in the bar.
Alright, DP. I'm fairly certain that everybody can figure out what the fuck you're. So why don't you lay it on us? And in addition, if you had something different to drink while you were down the show.
I didn't have anything different to drink because...
Or since you've been out of town, you've been traveling a lot, you pick up any new beers, you taste something different. Obviously, he's drinking Captain and Coke, folks. That's what he does. It may be regular Coke, Coke Zero, it may be Diet Coke. Doesn't really fucking matter. As long as the captain is involved. And it's cola. He's in there like swimming.
It has to be Captain Cola because I actually have a bottle, 2-liter bottle of Pepsi, so it's not even Coke.
Oh, it doesn't work. Pepsi doesn't work, does it?
I had to. Sadly, no, I haven't been drinking anything different in my travels either. I've just been sticking to my normal. I don't know. Works for me. The Delinator changed it up. She's a vodka. Lemonade girl, but while we were at the Rosebud spending $20 on a drink, she had say amaretto sours. I know it's up to $20 to $20 now.
$20.
But she had a craving for amaretto sours. I'm like, oh, yeah, knock it out, man.
All right. Well, I've been on a White Claw craze, actually. I mean, the IPA whiskey drinking motherfucker that I am, but I mean, whatever. I got a black cherry here because the 12 pack's way cheaper. And the 6-pack, and they won't give us a 12-pack of either the lime or the grapefruit. The grapefruit is my jam, though.
You think they do a mix?
Yeah, they get black cherry and raspberry and lime. And I don't want that. The rest of that, I just want the grapefruit. But I'll deal with the rest of it. So don't give me Truly. Don't give me the rest of the imitators. Give me the White Claw because you know don't drink and drive. Drink and podcast, but there's no laws. When you're drinking claws. And that's been another edition of Which.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
DP, we're coming to the end of episode 208, and it feels oh so good. We've had a great time. It's always wonderful to talk sports and entertainment, but now it's last call.
A last call.
What do you mean? What do I mean? Well, in this instance, I mean, I'm going to keep drinking. So, DP, you'll always be the architect, but now you are the scientist. So why don't you enlighten the people? This is last call right here. DP, chair shot scientist. It's a fact. It's science.
It's science.
What? You want me to tell you of the... the path that is becoming a scientist in my studies and in what I do in the world, it's a different type of scientist. That's the hard thing to understand. There's scientists all over. I'm not some chemist. I'm not Breaking Bad. I'm not some scientist who's finding the cure for, you know, that scratch you got down there, if you know what I'm talking about, or anything like that. I'm talking about data scientist.
Oh.
Very different, but still science in its own right, because, you know, when you get when you work with a lot of data and a lot of ones and zeros and a lot of things that you need to try and put together and make sense of, and it's like kind of, it's finding solutions. It's finding ways to improve people's lives, but unfortunately not in the way of, you know, I'm improving your health or anything like that. I'm just helping people find their way in a sea of numbers that they can't make sense of, and that's what I do. And finally, with the extensive knowledge and 20 years of experience that I've been going through, and the good but very frustrating and very, if you know me, I have a very high anxiety and things like that where it makes it difficult, and you know, dealing with people is not one of my strong suits, but everything I've worked for and worked long hours and frustrating hours and had to sacrifice a lot of things for it, I think it was well worth it to be able to put on a resume and put on this little business card I tried to show you that says I'm a data scientist. Not only that, but I'm a senior data scientist, so I'm a step above the little peons on the data science industry. I am. Sorry, being humble brag there, but that's just, you know, yeah. Some people go to school for, you know, 8 years to become a scientist. I go for, you know, one. No, actually, I did go to school for quite a number of years, but also have a ridiculous amount of time on the job doing what I do. But yeah, it was really cool. You know, we started less than a year ago at my company. Me and one other guy decided, you know, we're gonna start this group, basically, and went to the powers that be, went to the vice president and president, and said, look, we need a group like this in our company that does what we do but does it for the whole company and bring our knowledge together and make everything flow awesome. And we got them to buy into it, and then we had to prove it, and we have been proving it, and we continue to prove it, and so much that we're going to hire another person and another person probably for our team. And so we finally, as we were doing this, figured out that we need to be part of this group, and how good we're doing it and what we do falls under this scientist type of role. And we've been kind of not been given that moniker, unfortunately, because it also comes with a higher pay grade. But the fact that we've been able to prove it and we do really fucking good work, they realized it and said, absolutely, this is what we need to do. And here we are. The architect is now a scientist. So it's fucking awesome. It has been a ridiculously stressful but amazing journey. And it continues to this day, as PC Tunney knows, because it's an absolute pain in the ass to get a hold of me, and it sucks. But, I kind of trying to get through it, and eventually we will be at a steady state, especially when we get a few more people, because it's just the two of us, and we're doing 300 employees worth of requests, so it's okay. I don't complain, because it's awesome what we do, and I really, really enjoy it, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't. And now we're getting the recognition that I think we deserved, so yay for us, and go Team Science.
There you go, folks. This is the episode 208 of the DWI podcast. You got the commissioner, the scientist. More big things to come. Make sure you do yourself a favor. Go over to thechairshot.com. You already have, if you're listening. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Make yourself just unique when you go out to your shows or out in public with a wrestling shirt that not everybody is going to, you know, be showing up in. So in addition to that, do me a favor, if you're local in the Milwaukee area, Southeast Wisconsin, head over to Brewer City Wrestling 1. That's Brewer City Wrestling, the number one, BrewerCityWrestling1.com. Go to a Brewer City Wrestling show. DPP and I can't even begin to count the number of people that are unbelievably legitimate and important in professional wrestling right now that have come through Brewer City Wrestling. And that's a fact, Jack. It's actually science. So do that. And I don't know, DP, any last thoughts? Because it's been a while since people have got your opinion on the entire wrestling world.
You know, I mentioned it when we were talking about AEW and getting going, and to don't be a hater on WWE just because you want something different is enjoy right now. Get as much as you can and enjoy all of it. Don't try and be a hater on one show or the other, because we want everybody to succeed, because we want more outlets. You have AEW, you have Impact, you have WWE, you have Ring of Honor, MLW, you got your local independent shows that you just talked about, Brewer City Wrestling, who has some of these guys come through. Kevin Owens has been there. Pentagon, like we said, we just saw Pentagon Jr. We've seen Colt Cabana. We've seen, you know, guys come and go through these little, Silas Young. The Brewer City Bruiser is a mainstay at you know, BCW. You know,
CM Punk's last wrestling appearance is at that very building.
Yes, sir. Agreed. And, you know, don't hate on it. Enjoy as much as you can. You've got 4 out of 5 weekdays of wrestling now, and it's crazy. But, you know, pick and choose as much as you want, it's fine, but don't hate on it. Enjoy the fact that there is that much content and more things you can watch and more outlets for all these wrestlers, because there is a ridiculous amount of talent. So let's get them all out there. Let's get them all to succeed. I want to see everybody succeed in the wrestling business, because there is that much talent that is that good if they're given the opportunity.
Folks, we are really glad that you are our friends, and we're going to drink until this podcast ends. It's the DWI podcast. Do not drink and drive. Drink and podcast. DPP, we did it again. Episode 208. Folks, you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as DWI. And that's just a fact. I mean, it's like science. I mean, now we have a scientist. So.
I mean, you don't even have to prove it. Now you have someone on the show to let you know for sure. It's science.
Bruh.